Our reading today is taken from selected verses in Genesis 26 and 28. The reading in chapter 26 is regarding Abraham's son Isaac and the promises God made to him, and then in 28, the promises made to Isaac's son Jacob. Genesis 26, 1 to 6 and 24. Now there was a famine in the land, beside the former famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, to King Abimelech of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Settle in the land that I shall show you. Reside in this land as an alien, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will fulfill the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth shall gain blessing for themselves through your offspring, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. And that very night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will bless you and make your offspring numerous for my servant Abraham's sake." Genesis 28, 1 to 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This past fall, I heard a son give testimony to his father, to his father's life, and who he was, who he had come to know his father to be, as I attended a Zoom memorial service for his father. And he talked about his father during a time that they spent in his life when he was a child in Cuba as missionaries. His father was a Methodist pastor ordained and was sent to Cuba as a missionary. But he didn't talk about his father and, any risks that he took. He didn't talk about the great courage it took. He didn't talk about going to another land and a new culture, knowing nobody. That's not the type of testimony that he gave about his father. Instead, he talked about who his father was to him on a personal level. He said when he was a child, he had severe asthma. And he remembered when he would have those days with the bad asthma attacks, and his father would come home from being out all day and being at work and being at the church, and he would come in his room with ice chips and some ointment in his hands to help relieve the pain and the suffering and the symptoms of the asthma attack. He said he wasn't sure if either of those things helped, the ice chips or the ointment that he brought, but he said what he remembered was his father being there with him. He remembered that his father would come in after the day of work and would sit down at the bedside and be with him. He was present. As we come to a close on this Christmas season, let us not forget Emmanuel, God with us. But not just for a season or for a day or in the glimmer of the lights or the presence under the tree, not just during those times, but for all times. God with us yesterday, today, and forever. Another season that we've been going through in the midst of this pandemic has been a season of isolation and loneliness. Those are two words that I've continued to hear time and time again over the past few months. Isolation and loneliness. I mean, we as people are desperate for withedness, right? For being with others. So my hope as we enter into this new sermon series today is that we come to see and to know and to experience God with us. I want us to learn about and hear the stories from the Bible of people having encounters with God and God ensuring them through his words that he is with them. But more than learning some Bible story, I want us to know that God is with us. God is with you. And from coming to know that truth, to then practice that presence, to live right in the midst of God's presence, in the center of who he is and his presence with you. So today we begin in the beginning, as Sarah read, in the book of Genesis. And as you read through the Old Testament and then even into the New Testament, you can find this phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can find it repeated over and over again. It's emphasizing for us this covenant that God made with them, that God made with Abraham and then with his son Isaac and then with his son Jacob. You see, God promised them land, descendants, blessing, and that they too would be a blessing to others, to the rest of the world. This was not going to be easy for any of them. None of their stories was an easy story. When God called Abraham, Abraham had to leave his country, his home, to go to an unknown place, away from his father, away from his entire family and community. And at the age of 75, he gathered his belongings, he got his wife and his nephew, and they headed out. Then when God talked to Isaac, his son, in Genesis 26, he was in the midst of a famine and going up against opposition. The Philistines became envious of those blessings that God was bestowing on him, all the crops and the herds and the great wealth that they brought to him. And they went as far as to, like, stop up all the wells that Abraham had dug for water for the family. You see, without wells, Isaac was going to be in trouble. Wells were a statement, one, of who owned the land, of who that property belonged to. And wells were a way that they kept themselves and their animals and their crops watered, hydrated. Wells were really a symbol of life. And they were trying to drive him away and cause desolation in his life. They asked him to leave, so he moved on to Gerar. But even there, as he then began to unearth some of the wells that were there, the people quarreled about who those wells belonged to. He persevered on one place after another, really just one trouble after another. He wasn't able to do it on his own strength, though, because he did not have it. For here is what was said to him in the midst of it all that gave him what he needed. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. That message, though, that was given that day to Isaac was not only for Isaac, but for all of us. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I mean, that is who he was. He was the one who was with them that continued to promise, I will be with you. The stories of Abraham and Isaac are ones that, to the human eye, to our understanding, to our hearing, I mean, they look like they are alone. But the message, the words, the promise from God tells a very different story. They were not alone, for God was with them. And the story of Jacob, Isaac's son, was no different. Isaac was on the run. He was heading away from home where he had tricked his father. And he had taken from his brother then the blessing that was to be given to the oldest son. So he was on the run. He was out of there. People were after him. His brother was not happy. He got himself into a jam, into what we might call a big old mess. But God did not leave him there in that mess, because God had not forgotten. He had not forgotten that promise that he gave to Abraham. As Jacob lay down to sleep because the sun had set in that place, he found a rock there to use as a pillow, and off into dreamland he went. It was in that dream that he saw that ladder, right? That ladder going from earth all the way up into heaven. And not just a ladder, but angels going up and down the ladder. A ladder connecting earth to heaven. Not two separate remote places, but brought them together. Brought heaven down to earth. With a powerful, life-changing message for Jacob. For here is what he said. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So even when he had messed up, when he had been deceitful, when he had been lying to his father, taking what did not belong to him, God did not leave him nor forsake him. And therefore, God does not leave us nor forsake us. Instead, for Jacob, God reminded Jacob of the promises that he made to Abraham, that he made to Isaac, and that he was going to fulfill through Jacob. God had made a covenant and a promise, and he was going to see it through. That is who God was and is and will be. So let us not take lightly this promise and this truth that God is with us. They are not just words just scribbled on a page or words said without thought. They are words that give proof and invitation to a covenant of love and relationship. of grace and truth. It is what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob needed. And it is what you and I need. What we learn from the lives of these three men about the truth that of who God is, we have a few things to glean from them and from their stories and from their lives. Now, this is just the beginning. We're going to be learning more over the weeks to come. But this is just the beginning of defining what it means that God is with us. One is that things aren't always what they seem, because God. When situations seemed to be impossible, when trouble and challenge was surrounding them, caused by others or by themselves in situations they put themselves in, when it appeared as though they were alone, hopelessness in the midst of their situations and circumstances, God had a different plan. An alternative, we might say. I mean, a new reality. Because God was with them, the outcome was going to be different than what it appeared to be going on, or where it might have seemed to be heading. For remember, as Christy said in her message in Jeremiah 29:11, says, God's plans are to give you a hope and a future. And that can happen because of this, because God's presence is an active presence. He was going to do what was needed to be done to fulfill these promises. In the instance with Jacob, we find that it was not Jacob who initiated the relationship with God. Remember, Jacob was on the run. He was trying to hide from everyone, to be alone. But God came to him saying, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. God is active, watching over, bringing back. I mean, these are verbs to let us know that it is not a passive presence, God just kind of here watching what we do, but that God is right in the midst and he is acting on our behalf, acting in us and through us and with us. And God does all of this, is present because he desires a relationship. He wanted a relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But those relationships even gave proof that he wanted a relationship with all people. And that was his desire. He was making the promises with them, blessing them so that they would be blessed. But he was blessing them so that they would be a blessing to the world. Wanting a relationship with all people, with you and with me. God is present with us in hopes, you see, that we will respond. That we will respond with a trust in him to be our God. What we can see from the stories we have heard this morning is that God's promises call for a response. They call for a decision to be made. So the question I have for us today is this. Will we be presence to God's presence? Will we be present to God's presence? Psalm 37 puts into poetic words what is experienced by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their relationship with God and the God that they experienced. So let us hear these words today as a reminder of who God was and is and will be. It says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry off their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. For those who hope in the Lord will experience his presence. For those who hope in the Lord will see his promises come to fruition. For those who hope in the Lord will be in that covenant relationship with God. To know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of us today, is the God for all times and in all places. For you see, Emmanuel, God is with you. Brothers and sisters, be present to his presence. Many years ago, I read a book by Brother Lawrence. He was a Carmelite monk that lived, I believe it was in France, is where the monastery was he lived in. And he wrote this little book, little itty-bitty book, less than 100 pages, I think. And it was called Practicing the Presence of God. So I went on my shelf when I was here for Christmas Eve looking for my bookshelf in my office, and I couldn't find it. So, you know, Amazon Prime, two-day delivery. I ordered another one. And I only have a few more pages, but I began reading it this week just in my time. It's letters that he wrote to friends and writings that he had or what friends had remembered about him. But the reality is he believed the answer to everything was just to know that God's with you. And he lived it. He lived in the midst of God's presence. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he worked in the kitchen there in the monastery, whether he was chopping up food and preparing for dinner or washing dishes. He just said he knew God was there with him and that he just lived in the midst of that. So my prayer for you is as you go from this place that this week, as you go through life, that you will know that God is with you everywhere, whether it's in your home or to a doctor's appointment, whether you're doing those routine things around the house like cleaning, maybe you have to do something for a neighbor or a friend, maybe you're off to work. What you need to know is that wherever you are, God is there. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was with them and he is with you. So let us live lives right in the midst of it. In the midst of God's presence. So live right in the midst of his grace and his peace and in his love, friends. Amen.